Welcome to the first episode of Free Smoke, a debate series where we actually cover a variety of topics from albums, songs, and so much more. And we're starting off with an album battle and one of the most epic battles that you can actually want. And it's actually My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by Kanye West versus Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly, two of the best albums of the 2010s decade. And I'll be representing My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
And I'll be taking To Pimp a Butterfly. Yes, sir. What a fucking occasion. And guys, listen, this is a new concept. Let us know how you like it in the comment sections. And not only that, but leave your takes. And you guys could actually let us know who won in our YouTube community tab. So once, you know, we post a video, you guys are going to have access to that poll on the community tab. Go vote for who won, either Lou and I. And this is going to get heated, man. This is the first time we do this style of content. And not only that, guys, but if you are new to NFR and you guys want to stay updated with the industry and want to have access to cool concepts like these, please subscribe because we are doing content on the daily here. So To Pimp a Butterfly versus My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, that is quite the battle. There's a lot of strong points for each album. Two of my most adored albums ever. You know, I'm a big fan of both of them. Yeah. But I'm on To Pimp a Butterfly. I think that's like my magnum opus when it comes to hip-hop. It's the album that really captivated me. But how about you? What makes you love My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy before we get
it's
into
just
this?
The most iconic album maybe that we've seen in our lifetime, to be honest, since we've been born. So it's cool to, you know, be discussing it and like kind of unpeeling the layers to this album because there's so many. So Nick is actually be moderating. Nick, say what's up.
What's up?
Yeah, if we're gonna be, you know, speaking out of line, he'll cut us off. If we'll be going on for too long and not respecting the time limits, he'll also butt in. So it'll be cool to see how this goes.
Yes, absolutely. So let me explain to you guys how this is going to go down. So we're going to be treating this with three different categories. The first one being artistry, second being production, and third one being impact. Within each of those categories, Lou and I will have 2 minutes each to explain all of our points. And then at the end of each of these categories, we will have 3 minutes in total to have a discussion. And that's where shit is going to get heated. Now, listen, to decide who starts first with this, Nick is going to be doing a coin toss. So Nick, you could start that up and we'll get into
this. I'm gonna ask you, Ant, actually, heads or tails?
I'm going heads on this. I'm always heads. Confidence in heads. Boom.
It's tails.
Oh, okay. Shit. Okay, so Lou gets to choose now if he starts, and that will decide the order for the rest of the criteria. So
I'm gonna make you go first. So that means that Ant's gonna be tackling artistry first. I'll be doing production first, and Ant will be starting impact first. So okay, let's get into this.
Okay, so Nick is going to start that timer. Let me know when I can start.
2 minutes, start right now.
I'm going to start off with the content. I feel as if To Pimp a Butterfly is one of the best concept albums of all time. You know, if it's the intertwining poem that ends up going into Mortal Man at the end of the album that, you know, actually reveals that Kendrick Lamar's, you know, kind of reading a poem to Tupac throughout all of To Pimp a Butterfly. If it's, you know, the rich content matter about self-doubt and, you know, like self-reflection, politics, racism, all of these, like all of these, I would say, ideologies in hip hop that never really get highlighted in the way that Kendrick Lamar did it on To Pimp a Butterfly. I also want to talk about Blacker the Berry. I think that that is one of Kendrick's best written songs because not only do you hear, you know, the viciousness and the anger in his voice, but he's also confident in being a black man and, you know, talks about all the stereotypes that come with it, but kind of embraces them. Then I want to go on to How Much a Dollar Cost. I mean, this is one of the best written songs of all time from a storytelling standpoint. The whole concept of Kendrick meeting God at a gas station through a homeless man in South Africa, that was fucking genius for me. Also, Mortal Man is very important to this track list because it kind of ties in together all of it. So for me, the artistry really lies within Kendrick because no one's using the amount of voice switches. There's 9 to 10 different voices he uses on the album. All the different types of flow switches that were inspired by previous rappers. So you'll find flows that were inspired by Q-Tip, Eazy-E, even some flows from Snoop Dogg. So it was cool to see how he was able to change up his artist performance. And then not only that, but if you go into a song like, let's say, Wesley's Theory, where he's talking about content matter like, you know, African-American, you know, creators being gypped by the government and, you know, exploiting them, this is all shit that really matters. And I feel as if Kendrick Lamar is at his best here, and just the performance and the artistry alone is one of the best of all time, in my opinion. Even the storytelling. I mean, having Mortal Man and How Much a Dollar Cost on the same track list for me is absolutely mesmerizing. And the passion and pain that is thrown through this album is fucking incredible too. Go through a song like You and the use of the skit within it to be able to show the transition in the song. That was fucking genius. Not only that, but the consistency in the track list is amazing. You know, there's Institutionalized, Mom, If These Walls Could Talk, Hood Politics. There's so many great songs, one after another.
lights are up.
Oh, okay, man. You're ready to go off on a tangent there.
Oh,
okay.
I tried to get in so many points, man. I was like, how do I detail these notes for today?
Hard.
But I'll let you go for yours.
All right,
man.
So Lou, your 2 minutes for artistry start now.
So with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Kanye West actually created a two-act theatrical rap opera filled with dramatic performances, not only from himself, but also by curating one of the best feature lists of all time. And what's amazing about this album is the way that it actually subverts the idea of, you know, fame being all glitz and glamour, because if you actually think about it, it's all about the downsides of fame. And you can hear that from Dark Fantasy, the intro, where Nicki Minaj is saying, you think you might have peeped the scene, but you haven't. Like, this idea of fame, what you're seeing on your TV screens, isn't the reality of it. Not only that, but the way that Kanye actually uses literary techniques on this album is genius. Look at a song like All of the Lights, where he raps about how there's a restraining order against him and he can't see his daughter. And that's actually an allegory for how he can't be creative in the rap game because there's a restraining order. People are blackballing him. And speaking about how he was canceled, think about the comeback story after he was shunned by the media and the public, for him to come back in the way that he did. And the only way for him to come back and to bounce back was to actually create a masterpiece. And the only way to do that was to make something so good that people can't ignore him. And that's what he did here. Look at a song like Runaway 2. The way that he's able to make meaning out of saying nothing is genius, because if you look at the end of that song, he's singing through a vocoder and you can't hear a single word that he's saying. And that's a message for how the public is misinterpreting his messages when he speaks. So if you take all of that into consideration and think about what Kanye did here and how he formed this story about how his views on the world are kind of being you know, misinterpreted by the rest of society, it's genius. And also, if you look at the amount of hooks on this song, from Rihanna to Kid Cudi, the way that they have some of the best hooks of all time, and not only that, but everything has a purpose. If you look at Kid Cudi on Gorgeous, he's rapping about, you know, fame slipping from his fingers, slipping through and not actually, you know, being within his life anymore. And that's a representation of Kanye and how he's feeling that fame slipping through. Not only that, but look at a song like Power, which is an anthem, but really deep down, it's Kanye showing you all these material possessions.
And your 2 minutes are up.
Yeah, the 2 minutes is,
man,
tough to try.
Did you hear how fast I was fucking talking?
Yeah,
there?
You,
like,
have
I was
to,
just...
you have to go through all of this. Yeah. But okay, let's actually.
So listen,
this...
wait, you guys both had 2 minutes each to speak on your points,
yes,
for artistry. So you guys will now collectively have a 3 minute rebuttal period, and that,
okay,
3 minutes starts now.
Listen, man, I get what you're saying when it comes to the MBDTF storyline, and I guess you could say that, yes, there is a deep, rich meaning behind the tracklist, but when it comes to Pimp a Butterfly's content, it's not even comparable. I
How
feel
is
as
it
as
not comparable?
I
though.
Feel as
it's
if
it's a
the
different story
of,
that he's telling.
But it's even deeper than that. It's even
this
deeper.
Is very
it's
deep.
Even. Okay, so let's say you attack the MBDTF storyline of having that sort of dark side to the fame and having the downfalls and the pitfalls.
It's not only about that, it's about identity as well.
I know, but let me just make my point. If you even go through that, that one subject is covered even in the title of the Pimp a Butterfly, meaning that Kendrick feels like he's being pimped by the industry, and the whole concept of the album, of why he ended up putting it out, was to prove that he could take something like the Pimp a Butterfly and still have it as a commercially, you know, successful record. So I feel as if he did touch upon that even with the album
title.
Yeah,
but this album is all about being yourself and how unforgiving Kanye is on a song like Runaway, where he admits all of his faults, but he says, this is who I am. And that's something that is relatable on a universal level.
Blacker
because
Barry does that.
How does Blacker the Berry do that?
Blacker the Berry embraces Kendrick's heritage and talks about how he's proud to be himself and how he's proud to be, you know, attached to all of these stereotypes, and he kind of almost mocks them in a way throughout the whole track. So
well,
it still touches upon that, and doesn't an even more emotional factor would a much better
I don't think it's
deliver.
More emotional.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think so. The way that Kanye uses his techniques, not even saying a word, but having a message through him pretty much saying nothing. Like, the techniques that Kanye uses here to bring meaning to what he's saying and to what he's actually not saying is absolutely genius. And with Kanye, it's not only about the message. It's about the way that he curated this album as an artist, the way that he brought in all of these features and made them all fit in and actually have something to say about his greater message and where he was at in his life in that moment.
I know, I understand.
That's
you,
impressive.
But regardless, like, the way Kendrick displayed that was much better because he actually had something to say, and it was full of fucking bars, you know, line after line with vicious and anger, you know, this angry energy. But not only that, but I also want to talk about Kendrick having a better performance than Kanye on To Pimp a Butterfly, because if you look at all the voice switches over 9 and 10, you look at
Kanye has some voice switches. matches as well, man.
Not
Are
even
you kidding
comparable
me?
To what Kendrick's doing on Tempo
Butterfly. The way that his voice is
not
muffled
even
on
the
Gorgeous.
Flows. Come on, bro. I'm all worried about a fucking vocal effect. I'm
what
talking
about the
about,
replay value, man? What about the replay value? Are you gonna listen to Tempo Butterfly over My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy? Ask
yes,
anybody.
Absolutely,
ask
I'm
anybody
sitting,
in the comments. Who is? What's the more accessible album?
That's
a big part.
That is
making good music that can be listened to on any given day is a big part of this argument.
But at the end of the day, we're talking about objectives. We're not talking about your
we
fucking
are taking
replay
objectives,
value.
But this is everybody.
I don't care.
And if you're going to be honest with me,
yes.
You would play My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy
absolutely
on
not.
Any day over
we're talking
Butterfly.
About my favorite
you
album
have to
of
be,
all time.
You have to be in a mood to listen to the Butterfly. You have
I don't
to
know.
Be.
That's kind of subjective. But I'm also going to talk about also the
but
content
how is
it
objective that he has a better lyrical absolutely. Performance than how is that objective?
Who, what? What do you mean? How is that objective?
Is it written
did?
On paper? Like,
absolutely.
Who said that he
bro,
had a better performance?
You go through Kanye West bars on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and put them next to the Pimp a Butterfly. It's day and
it's,
fucking
it's,
night,
it's
bro.
Not only
I'm
about
sorry.
Vocabulary and lyricism. It's about wordplay.
And the 3 minutes are up.
Here we go.
I feel shit. The tension in the room, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
I feel the tension.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
So yeah. Next up is actually production, and I think Luca,
I'm taking this one.
Yeah, Luca is first here. So you have 2 minutes to speak on the production for your project, and your 2 minutes start now.
Not only is My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy one of the best produced rap albums of all time, but it's also innovative and genre bending because what Kanye did here by bringing in these abstract samples from 1970s progressive rock was never done before. This was completely unprecedented, and not only that, but if you look at all the elements to the production on this album, from the orchestral arrangements to the progressive rock samples to the elegant piano riffs, the tribal drums, everything is executed to perfection. Everything is timed out. If you look at a song like Power, the way that he took 5,000 hours to craft this beat filled with a beautiful synth line at the end, mix that in with the rock sample. What Kanye did here, and a lot of people don't actually say this, is that he made an advanced, an avant-garde rock hip-hop album, and people don't actually credit him for that. Not only that, but a song like All of the Lights was so good production-wise that it deserved its own interlude. You had to hear the way that you know, that instrumental actually progressed for how good it was. And if you look at that instrumental and look at how you have Elton John's beautiful piano riff, and then you have this amazing chord progression of this melancholic violin, and then it actually leads into the epic horns of All of the Lights, it's masterful work. And I've never heard such combination in terms of sounds on an album before. And if you think about also Devil in a New Dress, the guitar strings from Mike Dean are fucking phenomenal, and they're so good that they merit their own guitar solo on a song like Devil in a New Dress. And everything that Kanye did here, and that's a big thing too, is that Kanye produced 12 out of 13 of these songs. Not only is he an amazing artist, but he's able to have an actual say on the production and actually crafted alongside a list that includes P-Rock, RZA, No ID, Bink, Mike Dean, some of the best producers to ever make beats in this genre all worked on this for a good fucking reason, because they came to create perfection. And if you just look at the work ethic, the fact that Kanye worked on this, you know, for 12 hours a day.
And your 2 minutes are up.
Oh, man.
It's heavy getting through all this stuff.
So
it's
tough. Same for you, man. You have 2 minutes to speak on the production for your project, and your 2 minutes start now.
I would also say that Tempo Butterfly is extremely genre bending, excuse me, I kind of lost my wording there, for a simple reason that it was one of the first albums to ever take a sort of like this organically created music by hybrid digital sound and the traditional sort of ensemble with all of the live jazz instrumentation. Not only that, but I really want to focus this point on the sequencing throughout the tracklist, because I get it. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is granted cinematic, but it does not have the coherentness that Tempo Butterfly has, because the simple reason is that if you go through all the tracklist from start to finish, all the way from 1 to 16, you could see how all of the poems within each and every single song are sequenced together to be able to play into the overall theme of the album. Not only that, I love the engineering of this album. If you start from Wesley's Theory and you start going through the track, you could already start to hear how every single one of these tracks are perfectly placed. Not only that, but this kind of almost felt like John Coltrane was producing on this album. All the live jazz instrumentation is so fucking risky to do, because if you're a successful artist like Kendrick, that production choice is not necessarily the first place you're going to, but he was able to pull it off and create such a beautiful fucking jazz record. If I also look at the overall vibe of the album, this album's production puts me into a beautiful soundscape to be able to understand the overall theme of the album. Again, referencing back those poems and skits that are intertwined between the songs, those are genius in the production because it almost feels like To Pimp a Butterfly is one massive song and one massive storyline. I also feel as if, you know, you have Thundercat's bass on here. You also get some fucking fantastic production from Pharrell on a crazy hit like All Right. There are some of the most talented artists touching this project, and it's super underrated as a produced album because people are so concentrated on Kendrick's delivery and all of his flows, but the production kind of allows him to do that. Not only that, but look at what Blacker the Berry does with Boy Wonder. The way he sets up this fucking...
And your 2 minutes are all up. Right.
So 3 minutes begin now?
So listen, you guys, again, have
Lewis
a 3 minute...
I'm going to start this off.
Have a 3 minute rebuttal period, and those 3 minutes start right now.
First, I find it insulting that you have to actually talk about the storyline and the fact that the poem continues from one song to the next in the production, because that has nothing to do with the actual instrumentals.
Absolutely. How does it have to do with the overall production of the album? All the track sequencing is done throughout
the
production
track
and engineering.
Is fine, but that's part of the storyline. That's not a strong
if
point
that track
for the sound.
If that track
not
sequencing
that,
and production was not in the album, you would not be
able
to fully
understand... But that has nothing to do with the production. That's part of the narrative of the album.
Let's have Lou finish his thought here.
That's part of the narrative because he's implementing that through his vocals. That's part of the artistry. If you want to argue it for that, fine, but don't bring it into the production conversation. Not only that, but this was not... Yes, it was genre bending, like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, but the production here wasn't unprecedented. We have other jazz hip hop albums. We have Do You Want More by The Roots. We have other records
not
like that.
Mixed with
this
modern,
was
not
groundbreaking.
Mixed with modern
this was
as
unprecedented.
Well. Not mixed with
this
modern
hip hop.
No, no one has ever created an
no
album.
No one created what Kanye did.
No
here.
One has ever created an album like no. The Pimp a Butterfly's production with
it's been
with
done.
Live with live jazz samples and
done,
modern
bro.
Production.
It
which
has
album?
Been
let
done.
Him speak, Lou. Let Anthony speak.
Which album honestly did that and created that soundscape for an album? Because we're talking about one of the best albums of all time here. Which one did that, and what production allowed you to understand the overall thematic basis of this album because it created the soundscape for To Pimp a Butterfly? Which album did that? Answer your question,
all
brother.
Instrumentals are
answer
providing
the question
the soundscape.
That you said there was many albums that did that sort of
I can't name you off the top of my head,
exactly,
but I need you one. Do you want more
absolutely.
By The Roots? Do you want
absolutely.
More by The Roots? What about that one?
No, but I'm talking about the implementation of modern production.
What does it have to do with anything?
And it's the bringing both of those worlds together
you know,
and making
you know
it commercially successful.
You know who inspired Kendrick to bring in live instrumentals? Kanye West. He admitted himself.
Okay, I don't care who inspired. I'm talking about the actual production value of this album.
He wouldn't have been produced the way it was if it wasn't for Kanye's use of live instrumentals on this album.
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy versus To Pimp a Butterfly. We're comparing both of them. So what merit does that have into the conversation?
We've had jazz rap albums before. This is
not
mixed
with that modern twist.
Yes, we have.
With what album?
I can't name off the top of my head. There's been some.
What album again? Oh, that's right. Oh, everything just went silent.
How
there.
Did everything go silent?
Name
this is not the
name
first
me an
one.
Album.
People are
going to
let you know in the comments. People will let you know in the comments.
But
just
you can't.
I can't even
but no,
so
but
what?
You can't.
Your argument makes no sense.
I'm not sitting
you're
here with
you're
a I'm sitting here with you.
You're 100% sure that there's no album that has included jazz elements
on the level
with
of
modern
Butterfly?
Production. Not on the level. You said none has done it.
I don't know, bro.
You said none have done it.
I don't know, bro.
No.
I don't know,
now you're going to backtrack.
I have no idea. If you name me some underground projects, maybe.
There you go.
If you name me some underground
projects, that probably came out to Pimp a Butterfly. Fly.
Absolutely.
Came out before
maybe, but name me one that was on the level and impact
that
of
to do with
To Pimp a Butterfly.
That has all to do with the narrative.
Not
that
only
has that, all
but
to do
the diversity in the production was beautiful. You got West Coast sounds. You got
this
live jazz
instrumentation. This album pales in comparison to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Come on, bro. That's a horrible statement.
And the
that's
3 minutes
oh,
are done.
That was a horrible
done.
Statement. Pales. Jesus Christ, bro.
The 3 minutes are done.
Let's not swear on this, man. Let's not take...
3 minutes are done. The tension is higher than ever right now. And... it looks like we're at our last category, which is impact. And again, that's starting with Ant, just like he started the first one. And your 2 minutes for impact start right now.
This album goes beyond musical impact. This impact has changed the way people look at society and the way things are done in society. If you're looking at the types of content matter that Kendrick is rapping about in this album and the way that they've been able to push forward thinking within these communities, if you look at the type of mass appeal that Kendrick has and the way that he's been able to pack such deep and such beautifully rooted messages into his music was daring, and it was nice to see, because no one with his platform is doing what he's doing on that level. If you want to talk about also anxiety and depression, Kendrick tackled that and helped his fans get through that. You want to talk about racism and oppression, that was perfectly covered throughout the whole album. So for me, even above the music, on a social standpoint, I feel as if To Pimp a Butterfly is one of the most impactful albums that have ever come out throughout this genre. I'm also going to talk about schooling, because To Pimp a Butterfly is actually thought within a lot of schools. Kendrick actually visited a school in New Jersey that was teaching his album to kids, and the whole basis around it was they wanted to teach diversity. They wanted to teach kids how to be better human beings, how to understand the world, and that's the impact of Kendrick Lamar. Maybe people won't be using his fucking 808s on certain albums, but people remember him for the message and what he has to give to society. Not only that, but the impact of this album on the music community was absolutely fucking massive. I know that, ratings and scores have no merit, sometimes with this, but this was a beautifully loved album within the whole community. You ask, any music fan, what is the deepest album you've listened to, and they've listened to The Butterfly, it would be in that conversation. So looking at it from also a social standpoint and a music standpoint, covered both of those things, and not only that, but it's one out of the four books that have been archived in the Harvard Library. Like, it's on that level of impact and that level of education. This is beyond music. This is on a social standpoint. And I think that when you compare this to any other album in hip hop, it's in that top graces for
and
impact.
And your 2 minutes are up.
Okay, I got through.
All right, well, to start
awesome.
Off.
Hold on. Wait, Lou. So your 2 minutes for impact start right now.
So I think, first of all, we can't only talk about impact on a societal level. We have to also talk about it on a musical level and what it's done to actually innovate the hip-hop genre. And that's exactly what My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy did, because when it came out in 2010, we weren't getting that many concept albums. And this actually re-brought back that idea of creating these ambiguous, ambiguous concept albums that are game-changing. And what Kanye did here by crafting one of the most expensive albums ever made, he brought back that grandiose feeling. And it came down to a point where so many artists after this album came out were saying how they are dying to have a My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy in their catalog. An album that's on that level. An album that is so artistic that it feels like a painting, which you can take for surface level what it is, which is great music filled with some of the best production we've heard ever on a hip-hop album. But if you go deeper into it and realize that it's a story about someone who's lost in the world of fame and lost in all this excess, and also feels like he's so good at creating music, but that he fails in comparison to everything else. Not only that, but if you look at how he utilizes untraditional hip-hop samples in this album, it's masterful, because if you look at albums like 2014 Forest Hills Drive or Logic's Under Pressure, two of the most beloved albums of the 2010s decade, they credited this album for actually influencing them to use these sampled orchestras, to use this romantic dialogue in their music. Kanye has changed the game forever. And not only that, but if you look at how many times this album has actually been sampled, it's mind-blowing. If you want to get some examples, J. Cole sampled Devil in a New Dress on the song Stillmatic. Kendrick Lamar himself sampled So Appalled on High Power. If you look at how Odd Future sampled Dark Fantasy on their song Rella, if you look at how Travis Scott sampled Monster on his song Animal, that's just me naming a few of the albums that actually sampled this project because of how iconic it is and how.
And your 2 minutes are up. So you guys both.
Finish your thought, though. I'll let you go for the last one. What do you got to say?
Finish your thought, Lou.
Finish your thought. I'll let you go for it.
I was just going to say, no album has been sampled this amount of times in the 2010s decade. And in terms of influence, in terms of thinking outside the box, I haven't seen an album, try to be as mind-blowing as this was in that sense.
Okay, all right. So listen, you guys both gave 2 minutes each for impact. This is now the final 3-minute rebuttal period. And those 3 minutes start right now.
So let's talk about the impact from a bird eyes view and like look at everything that's gone on with it. I agree with you. I think musically, yes, My Beautiful
Dark Twisted. But that's a big part of the impact, though.
In your opinion,
My Beautiful Dark Twisted. How is it in my opinion? My Beautiful Dark. You're telling me that the musical elements of it are not a big part of the impact. This is an album, man.
Absolutely.
It's an album.
Absolutely.
It's an album. It's all about the fucking music, bro.
Dude, let Ann finish his thought. Go continue, Ann.
I'm talking about this is more than art. This is more than product. This is more than an album. This is impacting society. This is impacting people's emotions. This is provoking thought. This has birthed.
So is this one.
In what sense? In what
Can I
sense?
Tell you? Can I tell you?
No. Absolutely. Yeah, go
okay,
for
thanks.
It.
Okay, thanks. No, you're asking me. Are you going to ask me or you just want to talk over me? If you have some points to make, then go ahead and make them. But if you're going to ask me a question, I'll answer the question.
I'm not even talking, man. You could go for it.
Okay, so you said that how is this not thought-provoking? Think about the way that for so many years, so many hip-hop albums have painted a picture of what fame is actually like and how Kanye subverted that whole idea of it and actually speaks about how, yes, this life seems glamorous from the outside, but looking inwards, this is a fucking nightmare.
Many albums have done that before, by the way. Just going to say that.
Name me them, please.
Ready to Die, Marshall Mathers LP, two of them right there. Highlighted the highlights of fame, but I've talked about the downfalls and the pitfalls, and I've arguably maybe even done it better. Through writing, well, bro, Ready to Die is your favorite album of all time. Don't cap on this podcast.
There's many more elements than just the message.
But that's what you were just talking about. I'm talking from a political issue. I'm talking about how this has pushed minds forward and has allowed people to think outside the box. Even for me, on a personal album, you know, I'm a white man, and for me to be able to relate to Pimp a Butterfly and to be able to gain a lesson and gain knowledge out of it. There's a reason why they're teaching this shit in schools. There's a reason why this is being archived in the fucking Harvard Library.
But that's just
Larabary.
The nature of what the content is. But it's a different approach.
Absolutely. That approach has had a bigger impact on society. Fuck the
we're
music.
I'll let you have your samples.
Pimp a Butterfly
wouldn't exist if it wasn't for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
I'll let you have your samples. All right.
It wouldn't exist if it wasn't for it. Kendrick said it himself.
Valid point. Cut it there. I'll let you have your samples, but when we're talking about society and what has impacted people and society as a whole.
This not impacted people? This is one of the most iconic projects of all time.
It has impacted people maybe musically and maybe
on a personal level, but not on the extent that the Pimp a Butterfly has. How do you know?
Absolutely.
You can't tell
not.
People what's affected Absolutely. Them more personally, man. That's a personal choice.
No,
you can't
I'm talking
tell me
about the types of
what's
John-
spoken to me more in terms of an album. Same thing that you can't tell our fans what's spoken to them more. It's all about, that's subjective. You can't tell me, oh, this objectively has a bigger impact on people. You can't tell me that. The facts speak for it.
How do
the facts speak for that?
Is My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy being taught in schools?
What does that have to do with anything? So
is
what?
Is it being taught to
Maybe
young
it
children?
Is. Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
And the 3 minutes are up. That is it.
Oh, that was heated.
And listen, we have to leave it to the fans, man. We have to leave it to the fans.
Listen, guys, it's been a ride. It's been very heated. We've had our points go back and forth for a long time, and like I said earlier, two of the greatest albums of all time in the hip-hop genre, in my opinion, and it's going to be cool to see what you guys think. It's going to be cool to see what points you guys would have made for these arguments, but overall, now that this battle's over, man, how are you feeling?
I don't know, man. You were saying some very, very, very mean stuff about the Pimp a Butterfly, man.
I wasn't saying some mean stuff. I love the album.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure. But
what were the mean things I was saying?
I don't know. Would you say the Pimp a Butterfly is a top 5 rap album of all time?
I don't know. I'd have to put together my list. It's up there. It's one
would
of the greatest.
Would you say it passes My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy?
No, it does not. So My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is a superior album. I didn't say it's top five. I didn't say either of them are top 5.
So what would you put ahead of
it
one in your
matter.
Rankings?
It doesn't matter. I just said that this, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, is better than Pimp a Butterfly.
Well,
that's the argument being made.
So answer
There's
the
no
question.
Top 5, top 10 list being
answer
made.
The question.
That's another video, my friend. If you want to make another video,
guys, the rebuttal period is over.
Lou needs to answer these questions, but regardless, guys, I'm chill with it. No, like, I get it. I understand where you're coming from with all of your points, but especially on that content and artistry side of things, man, like Kendrick absolutely ruined Kanye.
It's more about a narrative when you're talking about artistry, it's about putting together an album, it's about
absolutely
the layering, it's about the techniques you're doing.
If you want to talk about the layering of
okay,
the Pimp
a
Butterfly,
we're not going to get into another rebuttal here because you're going to go on back and forth because you're kind of hurt about how the argument was left, but we'll let the fans decide, guys. So there's actually going to be a poll live on our YouTube community tab. You guys can have your say and actually decide who is the winner of this. Not only that, guys, but drop your suggestions for which albums you want to see go head to head next, because we're always open to hearing what you guys have to say. It's been a pleasure. We'll see how heated the next one gets.
I guess it was a pleasure. But yeah, let's keep going. Let's keep doing these. These are fun. I like it when you and I go at it. So yeah, as Lou was saying, we're going to be doing content on the regular here. We tried to do something a bit more spicy for you guys because, you know, we're going to be covering different stuff on the podcast. So if you guys fucked with this, please subscribe. Not only that, but we have a bunch of content coming out this week. So stay tuned for that, guys. And we'll catch you in the next one. Thank you for watching the video. It's always a pleasure doing content for you guys. Listen, if you haven't already, subscribed to the channel because we're doing album reviews and we actually have our series called Everything We Know where we take you guys through the whole album rollout of the hottest releases of the year. Not only that, guys, but our Patreon plan is now live. You guys can access that in the bio. I appreciate you guys and I'll see you on the next one.